When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
6 seconds to go. Comes in to Tucker. Ewing sets a screen. The shot is off. Loose ball. Ewing goes up. The basket counts.
Hello and welcome everybody to another episode of Strick and Roll. I'm your host, Schwinnie Poo. In this episode, I don't know what episode this is. I'm just going to call it 54. I'm not sure what number. We'll figure it out. But before we get started, I have to introduce our guest. He is not a first-time guest of the pod, but a first time in a long time. His name is James Boo. That is at JBB Hoops on Twitter. James, how are you doing all the way down under?
Yeah, good man. I'm working at, I'm going to be getting up for work in 8 hours. So that just shows how much you mean to me, Shrin, how much Strick and Roll means to me. So no, I'm amped, man. Like, and obviously it's been a big few days in the hoop world. I've got the, I don't know if like the viewers on the vodcast can see this, but I've got like, I'm holding up my like shitty, like, intro mic, as like one of those, you know, professional, like, whatchamacallit mics, like, you know, the ones with like an actual stand and like the thing around the top that looks like,
yeah,
but like, this is, you know, for those who know, this is just a blue snowball ice. So I'm gonna put this down and stop looking like an idiot in 2 seconds, but no, we're good, man. Let's get into it. Awesome. How have you been? How's life?
Things are good. The Knicks,
how did the
some big moves.
How did the free agency stream go in the end? Like, did you stream day two as well, or
No, we just did the day one, and then we did a reaction to Hartenstein leaving on day two. Oh, okay. And then, right. Yeah. But all right, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about a lot of other teams' free agency. Before we do that, I do have to make a few announcements. First, we get Strickland has Instagram. Check that out. That is at the Strickland on Instagram. We're posting all kinds of content on there. The Strickland also has a YouTube channel where you maybe watch this podcast. If you are, not done so already, please hit like, subscribe to the channel, and leave us a comment. That'd be a huge help to us. The Strickland also has merchandise, which you can find on our website at www.thestrick.land. There's a link to the merchandise store. There's all kinds of cool stuff on there, like t-shirts, sweatshirts, hats, coffee mugs, water bottles, you name it, we've got it. Strickland also has a Patreon, which you can subscribe to. There are a number of different tiers. There's a $6 tier that gets you access to Pod Circle, this podcast that I host every Friday at the Prez. You also get access to Takes One of His Bozos, our newest podcast that is hosted by Andrew Steele, a.k.a. Doug, along with Zach Blatter. And you get access to the Strickland's Discord, where the conversation never stops. There are further tiers. There's a $9 tier that gets you access to Strick and Roll, this pod right here, where I rant and rave with NXT even more. You also get access to wonderful previous wonderful premium articles by Matthew Miranda, one of the best in the business. And now you get access to Strictly NFL, which you guessed it is our podcast about the NFL that is hosted by Constantine Mechkos. There are further tiers. There's a $15 tier, $30 tier, $50 tier, and $100 tier. This comes with a variety of additional benefits, like listening on pod coordinates, merchandise discounts, and even potentially co-hosting a podcast alongside yours truly one day, whether you choose to subscribe or not. This would be possible without you. And none of this would be possible without Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season, from baseball, golf, soccer, right to all the top fights in UFC, MMA, and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slots games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BELIEVE for your 50% free bet credit on your first deposit, up to $250. Bet Online. The game starts here. All right. Well, we are here because you are known to the people as a connoisseur of, I don't want to say the dregs of the league, but the most arbitrary set of teams in the league is probably the best way to put it.
It's kind of true.
And funny enough, your arbitrary set of teams have all made some significant moves in free agency.
It's whatchamacallit. My internal headcanon version of Infinity War or whatever.
So
top it off, just get Isaiah Stewart on the Kings and, you know, all kinds of magic.
So just so the people are clear, James' arbitrary set of teams that he's weirdly attached to for no apparent reason in many cases. Kings, the Hornets, and the Bulls.
Get Charlotte off there, bro.
No, they got Josh Green. They're back.
Oh, true. Oh, yeah. Josh Green, woo. freaking 20 point per game, two-way shooting guard agenda. Yeah,
him, LaMelo, Mark Williams, they're going to be cooking out there. But we're going to talk about the Kings first, because the Kings did make the biggest move of all these teams so far, I would say. They acquired DeMar DeRozan. They trade out an unprotected pick swap in 2031. They ship out Harrison Barnes along with that to San Antonio. They give up 2 second-round picks, and they give up the artist formerly known as Chris Duarte to the Bulls in this trade.
KP should be hyped about that, man. I think Duarte's going to get some shots up in Chicago, because
he definitely is. You know, there's no doubt.
Like, bro, a team with Josh Giddey and Patrick Williams as projected second and third options, it's like there's going to be shots. There's going to be shots.
Hey, if they have their way, that might be the number one and two options. You never know.
Yeah,
but. So the Kings, there's been a little bit of discrepancy on this. There's no but the number that they gave DeRozan is something like somewhere between 3 years, $70 million and 3 years, $76 million. I like, I don't know. I don't love this move because I just don't really like the fit with him and Monk and
Let's get going.
I've actually come around on this a little bit because I think they still have all their – after this year, they can still trade out four unprotected first-round picks. The pick swap is – I think that's a little – like I would not have felt comfortable getting a pick swap, but whatever, that's out the door. But they still have four unprotected picks to trade moving forward. Presumably, I think Keegan Murray is untouchable, quote-unquote, right now. I don't think that necessarily means he's always going to be untouchable. I just think it's the right move for them to make him untouchable now. So he might be a piece that they put on the table next year. But the point being is they still have moves to make. And I guess if you're like them and they are not going to tank, like that was already known. If you're not going to tank and you're not going to do a rebuild, then you have to find ways to solidify a level of floor, especially in the West. And maybe DeMar DeRozan helps them do that. Also, his contract, it's the third year is a small partial guarantee. So effectively next year, if need be, they could use him as an expiring contract to use in a trade as salary filler. So they still have some options here, which is why I'm less down on this move than I was initially. But I don't love the fit from a basketball perspective.
Okay, talk me through that. Like, what, which parts of the fit do you specifically not like, and then I can kind of go.
Well, I don't like anything about him with Sabonis. I don't like anything, any part of that. I think that DeRozan likes to operate in an area of the floor, which is where Sabonis does all his bullshit, you know, fucking fake dribble handoff. I don't like that. I think it's like weird that you're, I mean, I get it from the perspective of like, they blew a lot of games last year in the fourth quarter. And even though Fox was, I think he was the second leading scorer in the fourth quarter last season, DeMar DeRozan was number one. So it gives you more options there, but I don't love the idea of taking the ball out of Fox's hands a lot to give DeRozan usage, which is like, I mean, that's just going to be part of the balancing act they have to find. For Monk, I don't know about that fit. I don't know how they, like, I'm assuming that they're going to have to play all three of those guys together at certain points, plus Sabonis. That feels clunky to me. The defense is going to be, be something. And that all of it is like, it just feels like you're asking a lot of Mike Brown now. The size now overall on the wing is like, I don't know. Like, who's there? Is it just Keegan? Is that the big wing? That's the only one.
Don't forget about James Brugrant, OG, Jalen McDaniels. Like,
oh yeah.
You cannot forget
how
about
could
him.
I, how could I forget that?
A career year in Toronto where you have like
it makes it even weirder too, or not weirder, but like forgetting like none of the assets they've given up in this trade were that extreme. But then you combine it with like they also did that trade at the draft where they gave up Davion Mitchell, the 45th pick. Like they just, and I'm like, again, Davion Mitchell is nothing special, but like they've just given up a lot of minor assets this offseason.
Yeah.
And the sum of it is Jalen McDaniels and then obviously DeMar DeRozan. And I don't know how I feel about all that, because if you told me what do the Kings need to get this offseason, I don't think DeMar DeRozan and Jalen McDaniels would have been on my bingo card. I'm kind of like, I don't love it, but I think it's raw. It's probably too extreme to be like, this is an awful move and I hate it. It just, I don't really know what it's going to be like on the floor.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I totally agree with the kind of pre-offseason, like mapping it out for Sac. Like I would have said priority one is try best to get like a legit starter in the front court to replace Barnes.
And they did try for Laurie. This is like they made a legit offer for Laurie, and that just
I'll get into that in a second, because part of my the positive aspect to me about the DeMar trade is not kind of falling into that trap with Markkanen or Ingram, because I think those would have basically just, you could have just put a line through this team for the next 10 years if they made those trades.
Wow, so you're out on Markkanen. You're out on Laurie.
I was on Lowry when he got traded to Cleveland. Everything I thought he was going to be out of the league in 2 years. So I'll never be out on Lowry, but I just think that fit, like, I think there's obviously fit questions between DeMar and the Kings, but I think there are probably low key a lot of those with Lowry and the Kings, especially just considering DeMar's 34 or 5.
35.
Like, 35. So he's a clear, like, bridge option. Like, his contract suggests that as well. 2 years, third years are basically, a team or...
It's like a non-guaranteed.
Non-guaranteed, yeah. So, it's clearly designed with that kind of thinking that you're just suggesting, like, it's a given 1 year and then it can basically be an expiring if it doesn't work out. Whereas Lowry would be like, I think he's still on his cheap contract.
That's the other thing with Lowry is that he won't sign an extension, because his extension, with the way the extension rules work, he would be taking way less than he would get if he hits free agency next summer. But if you're Sacramento, you're like, I don't know that I totally trust a player to be like, don't worry, man, I'll come back in unrestricted free agency. It's tough. So
we just saw the true sixth man of the year just do that. So I think you're sleeping on the genius of Monty McNair and the Maury general manager tree. Rosas is on the Knicks, right?
Rosas is on the Knicks, and then
so he's actually cooking, and the other two kind of frauds. But
yeah, and I think Stone's actually done a weirdly has stumbled into doing a pretty decent job in Houston so far. I would say.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
She said, get out the chat room and clean my Glad stretch. Feeling pine so fresh.
The Glad Girl Group coming at you with a throwback jam. That was Glad Force Flex Drawstring Trash Bags featuring Pine Sol Original Scent. And that's better than all good. It's all Glad.
All right, it would have been crazy if they like traded everything for Mikal and like. Did you know that'd be that?
Yeah,
be
I think they ended up making the right moves here. So far,
So Demar, so going into the off season, I really want a defense on the wings. Like, and that's kind of my hoop philosophy. Like, that might not be what's actually best for Sac, but I just think, like, I think for the most part, like, it's just again, it's just how I view basketball. Like, I think the most controllable part is honestly defense and like. Sacramento, like in so many big games over the years, yes, the offense has actually been a bit more of an issue than you probably expect. Like even in the Warriors series, I think they would have had a good offensive rating, but if you watch the games, it was just a breakneck pace, and that carries with it its own kind of limitations. Because there is value in being able to slow down and just get a good look. You know, and I think like Jalen Brunson is probably one of the best examples going around of just because he can push. And I think one of the first things that stood out watching him on the Knicks was like, I think one of the first games I watched, it was against Charlotte, like a battle against Dennis Smith Jr., legendary stuff. But he was pushing, like it was because I think then he hadn't fully assumed, you know, primary, give me the ball every time type. Like he was I think when he immediately came in, they were like, okay, yeah, this is a guy we can trust. But he hadn't fully ascended to where he is now back then. And I think a big part of his game that stood out then was his ability to, push a little bit when needed. But then obviously, like then you've got the Brunson who can just slow it down, ISO pretty much anyone. Like in that series, they didn't really have that ability. And then, so offense has definitely been an issue, but defense, I think, is just the main kind of controllable thing that has let them down as well. Because not only do you have Sabonis, who's kind of, you know, he's limited in his ways, but I think his limitations weirdly show up less in the playoffs because I think his biggest issue is the inability to play a deep drop that effectively. But I think in the playoffs, like your almost default defensive coverage, I think, against pick and roll shifts to more aggressive just because you're playing to more talented ball handlers, I think. So that's an issue. Monk's definitely an issue, and that's why I agree with the defensive stuff because Monk, DeMar, I think. Monk, DeMar, and Sabonis, who kind of he kind of compromised the defensive shell with the way you have to play defense with him at the five. It's going to be interesting to see how they balance that. Yeah, so that's why I wanted, you know, someone like a Isaiah Stewart or a Dorian Finney-Smith, like a just a, you know, trustable defender. Either you can trust him, you know, making, covering a lot of ground, making huge closeouts, or you can just stick him on a guy. You can put him on any guy on a switch and he'll pretty much bottle them up outside of the true, like, you know, top five, top 10 type players in the league. That's who I wanted mainly. And then also offensively, I just, obviously it was an issue. Mark was clearly ascending probably February onwards this past season. And I just thought that plus Keegan's going to get another year to develop. Like, you know, it's probably, I think it's probably talked about a lot in Sacramento circles, but yeah, it was a bit of a kind of, I would say, stagnation year for Keegan on offense. He had a huge game in the play-in, which kind of showed like the vision with him, like how his floor on offense is so high if he can just develop low-hanging fruit. But he's in the middle of that kind of developmental period right now. So he just the amount of little things that held him back from night-to-night impact on offense were huge. But yeah, I just saw another offseason for him, Monk continuing that ascension. That would kind of lead to kind of inherent progress in offense. And that's why defensive personnel, I thought they need to shore up. But that said, yeah, I think I've waffled for that stuff for long enough now. But that said, I think if you go by last season's sack, like definitely areas that needed addressing were the bench, just period. I think they were starting to figure it out at the end where they had like, I think it was Davion. Davion was starting to play better. Monk was coming off the bench and playing his best basketball of his career. You had Lyles, who's always been solid. So it wasn't terrible, but it definitely was an area of weakness. And then getting DeMar means that now you have DeMar, Fox, Monk, Sabonis, kind of four guys you can kind of pick and choose two of them to always be on the floor. And that's going to raise the floor of those units a lot, especially the kind of probably the weaker units where, you know, maybe last year Mark would have had to be the main guy. Yeah, he can maybe have another option out there with him. And then, yeah, I think clutch time offense, like, I think we kind of have varying levels of where we view Fox. Like, I'm just.
I thought I don't want to say terrible because that's wrong, but it was. I thought he definitely took a step back last year. I watched them enough that I felt like, when I watched him, it felt very,
like,
I don't know, something was off. I didn't love, it always felt like he played the previous year. What, he won that fucking clutch time award or whatever, right? But like, he was really good in crunch time in 2022-23. And last year, I know he was second in the league in fourth quarter points, but like, I don't know, man. I watched him enough where it felt like he just played with blinders on in the fourth quarter all the time, took a lot of stupid shots, forced it. I honestly didn't like the way him or Monk played in the fourth quarter last year. It felt very selfish from both of them. I'm not saying, like, I don't know if DeMar, you know, just having another guy he can truly trust changes that, but I thought Fox was, I'll put it this way. I think the year before, you could reasonably look at him and look at Brunson and be like, they were, you know, they're both kind of viewed as, okay, these are ascending point guards who are now establishing themselves among the best point guards in the league. And then last year, it felt like Brunson obviously took his game to another level. And Fox, I quite honestly, I thought he took a step back last year. I thought he had a poor season, and I'm not sure what it was all about. To your point, you've been pretty consistent on this, that you think his ability to dribble penetrate is overrated, and then he's become very too reliant on settling for his mid-range game. That was pretty apparent if you look at the numbers from last year. I don't know what that was about, but like, he's still super fast, so he should be able to get to the rim. It just felt like he was settling a lot. And I remember I asked a few people during the course of the year, I was like, is he hurt? Like, is something, because he was just settling so much for the midi. And I had no idea, but he wasn't on an injury report. He looked okay. So I don't know what it was, but I thought last year he really took a step back in his decision-making and obviously his overall efficiency as well.
Yeah. And I kind of wonder, because the year before, Sacramento did have the number one offense in NBA history, I think. And I think a big part of that is, you know, Keegan just being a corner spot up guy purely, which I thought in ways actually kind of, you know, underrated his, or whatever the word is, underrated his rookie impact, or how impressive what he was doing was, because he pretty much had the least touches of any rotation player in the flow, and was still contributing. But to go from, Huerta, who is limited, but in his spots, he knows how to make all the different reads. Really good if he can get a step on his guy going downhill out of the dribble handoff. He's got the floater, good passer in those spots. Going from that, and also, you know, with Keegan being a corner, you know, spot up merchant, Barnes probably also had a bit more involvement. And Barnes is another guy who I think you can trust to really make good decisions going downhill. I think that's always been an underrated part of his. That's probably been my favorite part of his game for the last few years, just the ability to get downhill out of two-man game and kind of spray it out. So going from those guys being, you know, consistently involved, especially Huerta. I think Huerta actually had he had a lot of assists to Sabonis, and, you know, if you get Sabonis going for the Kings, that opens up everything. The year before, then this past year, he went to just, you know, the nightly, I think he went from like 15 a game to like 11 off the top of my head. And just, you could tell the night to night impact, he was closing a lot of games on the bench, which wouldn't have happened the year before. Right. Going from that to Keegan, I think that reduces the amount of kind of, you know, just shooting threat Fox has around him, because now you have, instead of having, you know, Keegan who might have an off night, but you have Huerta who's probably going to be locked in, Barnes or Monk, you know, you have all these options. Now Keegan's, you know, your third option out of the starters at least. And then the fifth guy is, you're picking between a bunch of guys who just haven't really caught a rhythm night to night, between Huerta, Barnes, Davion, stuff like that. That might have affected things. I think he had a clear jump in his three-point shooting, which is really important, and I think it's going to really show next to DeRozan. But I think that also with it came a bit of like, just, you know, boneheaded, oh, I can shoot the threes, and because everyone's been telling me I'm a three ball away from being untouchable, I'm just gonna, you know, think I'm untouchable and just shoot all these bullshit, you know, threes. I think the real thing is he's just, you know, figuring out, you know, the three is a real shot for me. How do I integrate this into my game naturally? But it just resulted in, you know, like some of those Suns games were just insane stuff. The stuff he was, pulling, against the vaunted point of attack defense of Bradley Beal, Grayson Allen, Royce O'Neal, Kevin Durant at the five, so he's not even at the point of attack. And then he was just shooting, you know, interesting shots. So
if anybody's wondering what game he's referencing, this is the game where, like, I think the Suns, they were down by like 25 or something in the fourth quarter. It was just, he was a disaster. I think it was the biggest fourth quarter comeback in the league this past season. It was pretty wild.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Michelle Beadle. That's right, the Michelle Beadle. You're welcome. You love talking about sports. I love talking about sports. You know the only thing cooler than talking about sports? Sports! And right now, all your favorite sports are on SiriusXM. I'm talking every NFL game, every game from the NBA, NHL, MLB, every NASCAR race, golf major, major conference college sports, and all the top games in the WNBA. If it gets your heart pumping, it's on SiriusXM. To start your free trial of SiriusXM today, visit SiriusXM.com/believe.